Yoni Asabel is usually here. Is he? Oh, Yoni, sorry, second. Yona Hain. Yona Hain missing in action, or has he? Is he? Oh, he's still away. Oh, okay. What is he, Los Angeles or something? Okay. Eitan Epstein, Ami Mandel, Ellie Waldman, Yehuda Turetsky, Yoni Zanger, Daniel Chambre, Shlomo Wadler, Shlomo, especially the new names I need to learn. We'll also start setting up, you know, those mini meetings to begin with, so I can get to know all the new people, whoever wants to come. Shlomo Wadler, anybody know his fate? Not here today. Dovi Bergman, okay. Yoni Bindiger, okay, Yoni. Ari Schwartzberg, Daniel Weiss, be here. Nachman Elsant, is he here today?
You know? He's
what?
He's out of town.
Ellie Cohen, Chaim Strauchler, oh, there he is. I thought we were there for some reason. Michael Goon, Michael, who's usually around here. Ari Colton, Yossi Golden, what? Oh, he told me, actually. He went to Eretz Yisrael, right. Yoni Fox, Avram Shannon, Ephraim Meth, Donnie Rosenberg, Donnie or Danny?
Donnie.
Donnie, okay, I said it right the first time. Okay, Yitzi Ehrenberg, Jonathan Hefter, right, that's a new name to call, Jonathan. Ari Guntovnik, who's here, Zachariah Abramowitz, Naftali Wolf, Naftali? They learn with each other, right? Alex Kay, Jonathan Wiesen, okay. Yaakov Jaffe, Yechiel Robinson, Noah Pollack, okay. Daniel Tabak, Ellie Steinberger, Sammy Sultan, Chaim Sultan, David Asher, David Kay, Avi Strauss, okay. Yoshua Lindenbaum, Aaron Kraft, is he back? Oh, okay, Mazel Tov again. Good to see you back. Aryeh Sova, Ashrei Beowitz, Simcha Shaum, Eli Rosenberg, Michael Stein, Moshe Stavsky, Tzvi Sinensky, Jay Weinstein, is he back? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, he's back. Mazel Tov. Shlomo Zukier, David Eiselt, I'm saying it right. Eli Asabel, okay. Ari Polsky, he's usually in the back there. Tzvi Shindel, Daniel Rosenfeld, Noah Bender, Noah, okay. Jeremy Schwartzbaum, okay. Sam Pollack, okay. Eliezer Weiss, Alan Stein, Eliav Silverman, Akiva Block, Yoni Levin. Okay, any other names I should know? That's it? Okay, good. Let's begin with one quick comment. Akiva asked me a question at the end of yesterday's shiur about the Rambam, so that requires a little more discussion. The Rambam in Perek Ches Hilchos Shgagos, I don't have it here, but the Rambam in Perek Ches Hilchos Shgagos, Akiva, Paskins?
Paskins, that in the case of where you do many melachos on Shabbos and you don't know which melacha you did.
Right.
So, even though this is not Pashut on the Mishnah, the Rambam passings that you're chayav and not told.
Right. So Akiva asked, why should you be chayav? Well, the Achronim ask, really. Why the Nosei Kelim ask, why should you be chayav and not Shem Tali? But I was thinking about it a little bit afterwards. It's not as bad as the question originally sounded. You know, it occurred to me right afterwards. And that is, Akiva was saying, if the Minchas Chinuch's ultimate pshat is correct, which is that the Rambam holds that not knowing which malacha you violated is not a chisaron of Yediyah Sachet, that's what bothered you. So then, why should he bring an Ashram Tali? But if it did qualify as a chisaron of Yediyah Sachet, certainly you wouldn't be happy either, would you? Because the Mishnah says quite clearly that if there's a chisaron of Yediyah Sachet, you don't even bring an Ashram Tali.
No, well, so the way the Rambam would read the Mishnah would be that case is an exception to the rule. That whenever Rabbi Yehuda said that Rabbi Yeshua's shita of Pater is even for an Asher Kali, that wasn't talking about that case.
I mean, it refers in the Mishnah to the that part of the Mishnah which sounds like it includes that case, right?
Also, that's why reading that Mishnah is difficult. I mean, this is not difficult, but
so there's something going on. But all I'm saying is, it's not as if there's a chisaron of yediyah. In general, when the Rambam paskins that there's a chisaron of yediyah sachet, he doesn't say that you're bringing Ashim Talui, right?
Yeah.
Here he says you bring an Ashim Talui. So the question is, we'll have to look at it more fully, but the question is this an in-between shita for the Rambam, and maybe it's actually not bad at all? In other words, the Rambam holds that it's not a chisaron of yediyah sachet. That's why he omits it in Perek Beis. And again, he thinks that gufin and malachos are not a lack of yediyah sachet. Had it been a lack of yediyah sachet, there wouldn't be an Ashim Talui either. At the same time, it's a good point. Namely, so why do you bring an Ashim Talui? Why isn't there Yediyah Sachet Legamri? Meaning maybe there's this in-between status where you bring Ashim Talui. It's not as if the Chatos is enough, but it's also not true that you're Pater Michatos Ume Ashim Talui. Now, if anything had to qualify for that in-between status, I would think it would be Shabbos.
So the Rambam Perichonis and Krisos tries to explain...
Right.
Why that is, I'm not really sure what he's saying. But
yeah, the Rambam's not so decipherable. But okay, we'll get back to it when we discuss those topics more fully. But all I'm saying is, it could be that the Rambam is suggesting that there's an in between, that malachos are actually in between.
So do you bring mechatas or not?
So you do not bring mechatas; you bring an Ashim Talui. And then the point would be because from you know it's Shem Iser, you. The explanation would be, you know, it's Shem Iser you violated, you just don't know about the Maisa Aveira. Maybe. I'm not sure. I mean, the Nosa Kalim themselves, if you look at the... But Rambam Kershim Shais is very hard to decipher, and the Nosa Kalim themselves have a lot of trouble with that Rambam. Yeah. By the way, Minchas Chinuch, who has the most serious difficulty, one would think, also notes the Rambam. I was looking at it yesterday again. And he just says, you know, the Nosa Kalim have trouble with this, so it's not my fault. He doesn't say it's not my fault. He just says... You know, we'll see what they said, but it's difficult. Yeah.
Doesn't the Rambam Mishnah differentiate between not knowing which Maisavir you did and not knowing if you did a Maisavir?
Yeah, that's his suggestion because he's bothered by this problem. The Ketzel Mishnah, Lechem Mishnah, both bothered by it. That's the Lechem Mishnah's suggestion, which would also help. Could be. I don't know whether it seems that way in the Rambam, but that's the Lechem Mishnah's solution. Okay, let's get back to the next point. The next thing that we want to discuss is the Mitzvah Seh of Shabbos. We spent some time on the Lav, so... And in doing so, we were able to touch on a lot of the Gemaras in our Perek, in the first part of our Perek anyway, which will save us time later on. So now let's turn our attention to the Mitzvah Saseh of Shabbos, which also touches on one or two of the Gemaras in our Perek. The Rambam in Shorish Tes of Sefer Mitzvos points out that there are at least 12 parshios in the Torah dealing with Shabbos. Right. He's trying to explain in Shorish Tes, as we already know, that just because the Torah repeats something many times, it doesn't mean that it should be counted separately in Minyan HaMitzvos. But Ram says one of those issues is Shabbos, which is repeated at least 12 times. Okay. So why are Parshios repeated in the Torah? So in theory, one could say one of two things. Eli, right? Why do you think, why would things be repeated in the Torah? Okay, and if you had to say that, that's true. I mean, or lav or lav, multiple lav, and if it's 12, or another form of that, even if it isn't actually lav or belavin, but...
To reinforce,
in terms of emphasis, to reinforce or to to emphasize more strongly the Iser, and that could be itself for more than one reason, right? It could be because at stake is something which is so significant that it needs to be reinforced. You can't take any chances that people are going to violate. So the need for reinforcement is a function of the severity of the Iser, or just the frequency of violation and the misconception that people have. Sometimes because something is kal, it needs to be reinforced. Okay, but that's one very basic reason why you would have multiple parshios for emphasis due to severity or due to people's likely violation. Okay, what's the other possibility, Ellie? What do you think?
Well,
Well, Laverlein B'Shnei Lavin doesn't really help us so much, because we could just, that begs the question, meaning we could just ask ourselves, so well, why are you Laverlein B'Shnei Lavin? Is it because of emphasis? In other words, it could be that's a function of emphasis too, as we were so worried about the violation of this concept for reasons of its severity or for reasons of its abuse, that we want to pile on the onshim too, not just to pile on the amount of times that the Torah emphasizes it, but even the stakes of actual violation, lavar b'shnei lavin. So that could be part of the first thing. Or the multiple partials and even lavar lav. Exactly. It could be that there are different dimensions or motifs. The Torah Dafke wanted to, instead of giving you the entire story in one fell swoop, it wanted to break it up. Maybe it gives you the story in one fell swoop and then it breaks it up, or it never gives you the story in one fell swoop and it only breaks it up into parts. And the purpose of that is there's some didactic motivation for that. Something is to be learned for the fact that the Torah formulate something in many partios, different themes, basically, and then, of course, the relationship of the different themes to each other. So if the Torah speaks about something 12 different times, it could be for purposes of emphasis, as we discussed, or it could be because our different themes. I've already suggested that the first partio of the Torah is Imitatio Dei, it's the mitzvah of Lehidamos, and then there's the parsha in Emor, right, which is the link and the paradigm for Yom Kodesh of Yom Tov. Right, and so on and so forth. There's a parsha in the Torah, which, of course, is dedicated to establishing the link to the Mishkan. Maybe there's more than one. And so on and so forth. The Aseres HaDibros, by virtue of the context of Aseres HaDibros, establishing the centrality of Shabbos and so on, and as an Ikar of some sort, depending on how you understand the Aseres HaDibros generally, or one which captures a whole area of halacha, according to Sajigon and the Ramban. We think that the Aseres HaDibros encapsulate the 613. In other words, it could be its challenge, it's our challenge, that's what the Chiyuv Mitzvah Talmud Torah is, for us to try to figure out to the best of our abilities, as rigorously as we can, not just empty speculation, what would be the different themes, the different motifs of the Torah, and why are they formulated, where they are, how they are, and so on and so forth. Okay. So when it comes to Mitzvah Sase and Mitzvah Lo Sase, the same general idea applies. If the Torah speaks about something as an Ase and as a Lav, so we would always wonder, are they really different themes, or is it the same theme, Lav Arlov Bishnayim, Ba'ase B'lo Sase? If it is Lav Arlov Bishnayim, Ba'aseu b'lo sase, in this case, you also might ask, which of the themes is the dominant one that is being reinforced? Is it essentially a chi of mitzvah sase, but one which is so important that you have to threaten people with onshim even to get them to comply, to encourage them to comply? Or is it the opposite? Is it a lav and it's so severe that you have to remind people actively to be careful about it as well? I've already mentioned this. I mentioned Yom Kippur as an example, and now we want to speak about it in terms of Shabbos. Why is that Yom Kippur, the example that I mentioned was, why is it that in Yom Kippur the Torah itself only speaks in the Mitzvah Sasei, V'nisim Esnaf Shal Seichem, even though, according to the Rambam, based on the Gemara, in the beginning of the last parak of Yoma, since there's no onshim unless there is an azara, so apparently there's an implicit law, but Reb Sajigon only counts the essay, and so on. Okay, so these are questions to ask generally. And with regard to the essay of Shabbos and Yom Tov, more specifically, the first question to ask is, does it exist? Or do they exist, if we're talking about both? Let's stick to Shabbos first, but is there a mitzvah essay of Shvisa Mimalacha b'Shabbos? Question number one. If it does exist, what is the relationship then between the essay and the lav, and that on two levels. On a practical level, are they identical in scope? Are there possibly issues raised by the essay that are neglected in the lav, or vice versa? That's the practical question. And the conceptual question, as we just noted it, is what different themes, if any, are expressed by the Aseh and the Lav? Does that express itself in different manifestations, tangibly? Or maybe not, but still, the Torah, it's important that the Torah provides us with these different perspectives, so that even though it's the same action that we're ceasing and desisting from, or doing, as the case may be, we understand that it has multiple, or at least two, meanings. Okay. Beyond that, then the next question after that to raise is Shabbos and Yom Tov, are they the same with regard to this issue? Namely, whether an Aseh exists and what the relationship it shares with the Lav. What about Yom Kippur? It's another issue to raise. Whenever we say about Yom Tov, is it the same thing true for Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Shabbason, or not? Okay. So the first thing to discuss then, how would we should we begin, Ellie? First thing we should ask, as we just did, is there an Aseh or not? So what's the answer to that question?
Maybe.
Well, maybe is a kind of a parva, you know, answer. I don't say you have to say yes or no, but if you want to say maybe, you have to clarify.
But the
ground
definitely
has an Aseh. Okay. Excellent. If you look in the Psukim in the Torah, it definitely sounds like there's an Aseh. The Rambam certainly counts an Aseh together with Lav. Go ahead. All that is pointing very much in the direction of an emphatic, unequivocal yes. But you said maybe, so you're going to have to... You've obviously just begun, right?
Yeah.
Right, go ahead.
There definitely is a possibility that, at least to some extent, the Krah and an Asmachta
Well, the Krah can't be an Asmachta. The application of what the Krah might mean could be an Asmachta. Right,
okay, so...
So you're retracting what you said before?
Yes, I said maybe.
What, you're saying an emphatic yes now?
Yeah.
Okay. I like what you said before. Okay. I just wanted you to clarify it further. Well, what you're saying now is correct according to the large majority of the Rishonim. You're absolutely right. In other words, if you're talking about the Rambam, if you're talking about the Sefer Chinuch, if you're talking about the Smag, if you're talking about the Urayim, if you're talking about the mainstream Monei Mitzvos, and if you're talking about the simple reading of the evidence, then you're absolutely correct. The reason I liked your maybe is because, there's some other evidence out there too. Right, Jeremy? What? Yeah. You'd have a hard time reading the Psukim, but I guess, that's, well, we'd have to deal with that, or we'd have to make a suggestion for it. But okay, number one, even the Rishonim who believe that there is a Mitzvah Aseh seem to invoke different Psukim as the source, which we'll get to that soon. Which Psukim do they quote? Kiva?
Tishbos,
Shabbason,
Bishmartem,
those are the three main ones that are cited. So if you obviously, if you like one more than the others, so it's possible at least that you have some other interpretation for the others. In other words, you understand if you say Shmartem, then you understand that Tishbos means something different. It doesn't mean Shvisa Mimalacha. Or Shmartem doesn't mean Shvisa Mimalacha, or Shabbason doesn't necessarily mean... Well, Shabbason certainly doesn't have to mean that. So obviously there's a, I think Akiva's point is correct in the sense that there probably are other ways to read the Psukim. And what about concretely, Jeremy? Who actually says, does anybody say? I mean, if we have the Psukim and we know that the mainstream Monei Mitzvahs count both, we're not looking for trouble. Right? It may seem sometimes like we are, but we're really, really not. We're just simple people trying to go about our Talmud Torah business, as simply as possible. It's just not our fault that rarely are things simple. So it's not like, the Psukim say it, the Monei Mitzvos in the mainstream, have it, so why rock the boat? Just say what Ellie said a second ago, the second thing that Ellie said, right? A definitive, emphatic yes. So why am I pushing this? Okay, Jeremy? What? Or you were wondering the same thing?
No.
Oh.
towards that fund decision.
Well, I don't think the Ramban says that exactly. We'll get to the Ramban. He says that, you know, which we'll get to, that, you know, there's more to the assay than meets the eye. But I don't think that that means that the Ramban does not say that the assay does not include the violations of malacha. It would be sensational if he did, but he doesn't. Right? He says beyond malacha, the assay may include other things. That's fine. But that's not the same as saying that there's no assay for violating malacha. I want to know if there's anybody out there who says that. Yeah. Excellent. Good. The Maram in the back, right? What's the Tosis? Tosis Kuflamid Beis on the Beis. Tosis talks about the general. It's of course that's a sugya in Blaza de Mila, and it's discussing Ase de Chalos Ase de Mila, and what about Saras? The relationship between Saras and Shabbos in terms of being being thrust aside for the sake of Mila. Okay? So you have the you have it there?
Yes.
Yeah, Tosas, read the Tosas first and then we'll read the Maram very quickly. You can really skip to the relevant part of Tosas. Vim Tomar in Tosas. It's in the middle of Dibramask, it's towards the end of Dibramask Hayase Velosa Sehu. Right? I think that's where it is, that right? Vim Tomar.
The high kind of one,
Dana says. One second. Yeah, go read from there. Go ahead.
How can Gemara come and say that a case of Asi Dechaloisa, say, is an example of that case would be Mila Tsaras? Oh. Amazon Lake with Tsaras, Allah. Thus it would seem that Tsaras is only Allah.
Because the principle is?
Because.
Ein Asi Dechaloisa, say, Viase. Excellent. Good.
Okay. The Omer made it come. Zohar Tina Elo Sima, the Omer. It's not after, basically, that. That it's he's just using it as a symbol. He doesn't really mean to invoke as they do the list of
say.
Right. Being Tomar, how come one day say do the say that say? What about
Nigma
is in a say that say? Nigma Mila Tsaras the donkey. So we should learn from Mila Tsaras that in fact it is there.
Right.
So Malamila Shikanis and Nikrasu Allah you don't free so Mila you can't really apply all the mitzvahs because Mila is
unique. Okay. Again, it's like the example that we said, Shabbos has 12 parshios, and one of those things is a mila, right? This mila has many, many parshios. Very central. Either it's very, very central, or it's multi-theme. Okay. So what is the good? So this is the Tosis. So what does the Maram say about this?
He asks, what is the...
You have it there?
Oh, the Maram? Oh.
Yeah, just quickly. Quickly, because we don't take too much time. Right? Kuflam and Beis, in the middle and the bottom of the Tosis. Dir Masal Hayaseh Velosaseh. Im Tomar Akaimel and Einaseh Dokalosaseh. Right? So the Maram says, why is Tosas bothered by Mila Docha Tzaras? Why aren't they bothered by the fact that Mila is Docha Shabbos? Right, go ahead. You don't have it?
I don't have it.
V'lamakshu mehod Mila Docha Tzaras. Tzarech lomar desvir le deshabbos lo hava asei v'lo sasei. El hava lav sheyesh ba misa v'kares. The parachasam ashkechan da asi ase vedochi los ase greda los ase shish bakaris echa ashkechan pite minelot mi mila malamila shakarsin yud gimel brisos ayin sham aval temu hu beinai da ashkechan kama mitzas ase dechsivi gabi shabbos zachar shamar tzarchlomer de lav inan isra malacha airi ela lekadsho bishar mine kedusha. So this is a good maram. A says explicitly that according to this Tosis, Maram's reading this in this Tosis, that there is no assay of Shabbos. And then secondly, he asks the question, what do you do with those psukim? Chaval, he focused on Zachar. He says, it means, Bishar Mine Kedusha. But presumably, he would have to say the same thing for Shamar, for Shmartem, and for Tishbos, and for Shabbason. Namely, that they signify other things. they do not refer to Isur Malacha. So it emerges that according to the Maram, there is no mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. Okay? Yeah. What?
Is the Maram's view a good view, though? I mean.
You don't think so?
Well, I was just wondering. The Maram over here is talking about Mila and Tzaraas.
Right, that's the question. So why are they talking about Mila and Tzaraas? Why aren't they? Why? I mean, the context, the broader context of the Gemara is Mila and Shabbos.
Well, yeah.
And the Gemara is going back and forth about, you know, whether you need a separate limud, whether you can, you know it from Asa Dochalos Asa generally, which is better, Shabbos or Tzaraas. You know, that's part of the whole Shagam. I think it's a pretty good deal, personally.
But that the Tosfos just picks that one example over Shabbos instead of, why would you pick Shabbos when the Gemara is talking about
Mila? Because the broader Gemara is talking about Shabbos, actually, I mean, the Perek is talking about Mila B'Shabbos, so I think it's a pretty good deal. Is it foolproof that you can't argue against it? I wouldn't go that far. At minimum, would I say from this Maram, I think you have a right to add, would I say from this Maram that Tosas believes that there, or a Tosas believes that there's no mitzvah saseh in Shabbos? I'm not sure. Can I at least say that the Maram thinks that Tosas thinks that there's no mitzvah saseh of Shabbos? You know, the answer is yes. And that's why Eli originally said maybe. Right? Yeah. Could be. Yeah, I'm referring to Issur Malacha. Yeah, I don't deny, I know we should deny that there is some assay of Shabbos. I'm referring specifically, in terms of the violation of Issur Malacha. Is there an assay in the violation of Issur Malacha? Which your Rambam, Smag, Chinuch, all say absolutely. Anyway, and the simple reading of some of the Gemaras, you know, which quote, Shabbos is an assay, seem to imply that. The Maram is definitely a big chiddush. Okay, but it's not only the Maram either. It's also, which other Rishon? The Smak. Smak by omission. But it's a particularly noteworthy omission. I wouldn't say it's a deafening silence yet, but it's a noteworthy omission. Okay, what do I mean by noteworthy omission? Because the Smak does what? What does he do? Yeah. Exactly. He has no trouble counting the Drabanans and the Asay Drabanans. And yet what he omits is the Asay Doraisa of Malacha. He has the Lav, and he omits the Asay. Surely that is noteworthy, striking, maybe even definitive. The Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlo, yeah. Oh, so that's where Rabbi Ruchem Fischel Perlo comes in. Rabbi Ruchem Fischel Perlo says, this is, again, the Lishitaso, this is a big, big theme in his commentary on the Ritzer of Sajagon, and that is, he says, don't think because of the, he noted that the Smak, I think he mentions the Maram as well, he says, don't think that because the Smak omits the Mitzvah Saseh of Shabbos for Malacha, that it means he doesn't believe in it. It only means that he doesn't count it. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlo, the rule of thumb is that you never count an assay and a lav that are identical. If they're identical, then you only count one. So, and by the same token, that's how he explains the Azharos of Reb Sajigon. If you look at the Azharos of Reb Sajigon, which of course you have to just note that, you know, aside from Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlo, I don't think anybody ever extracted very much from the Azharos of Reb Sajigon. They're very, I guess one could say, gnomic, with a G. I mean, they're very brief, very obscure. It's hard to extract much from them. But Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlo, you know, he wrote a lot based on his understanding not only of Sefer Mitzvot Reb Sajigon, which is also very scant, by the way. But even the more gnomic Azharos. So that's, we'll rely on his intuition when it comes to this. So he just points out that in Azharos of Reb Sajigon didn't count for the Malachos and Asay and Alav either. Except that he didn't count the Lav, he counted only the Asay. So Reb Yochanan Fischel Perlo says, the Smak and the Azharos of Reb Sajigon, as opposed to the Sefer Mitzvah Reb Sajigon, where he counted both, are basically the same. They both felt that there was an Asay and a Lav. They both felt that the scope of the Asay and the Lav were identical, and therefore they only counted once, except that Reb Sajigon counted in the Azharos counted the assay, and the sma counted the lav. Okay. Now, if you ask, again, the way he formulates it, is, to my recollection, is, you know, isn't that interesting? He counted this one, he counted that one, but it's the same shita. Or you might want to add, you know, when you have to make this choice, because there's no excuse to duplicate, so which one should you count as default, the assay or the lav? There might be different Rishonim who have different views on that matter. And that's basically the way that Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlo relates to the problem. What I would suggest is that one could say it slightly differently. Yeah, you want to make a suggestion?
I just wanted to know if there's, isn't there a way to find out if that's smart shita when it comes to the meeting?
Yeah, I mean, one would think you have to do a little bit of spade work and, go through it. But it's not always so simple because there are always variables to pin down. But can you do it? Can you try? Can you make a good effort and maybe even a conclusive come to conclusions based on the effort? Absolutely. I haven't done it myself, although, you know, here and there, but absolutely, you should be able to pin it down. My suspicion is, at least within Rav Sajagon, and I think within the Smak and some of the others as well, I'm not so comfortable with this idea that, you know, there's a default, it all goes to the essay, or other people have a default, it all goes to the lav. You know, maybe the optimists and the pessimists, I don't like it very much. And at the same time, you have to be careful because you have to know your own predilections and propensities in these things. And I admit that mine is to find, a reason for things like this. In other words, what I would suggest is that the issue is a struggle for the nature of this single theme, if it's true. And the question is it fundamentally a kiyum or fundamentally an iser? Is it fundamentally something that we do, even our passive behavior represents a kiyum? By avoiding this, we're mekayim a mitzvah? The avoidance is a looks passive, but really is a kind of halachic action, the sheval tasa, but, or no? Right, so that's what I was hinting at about Yom Kippur, meaning v'nisim is nafsha seicham of Yom Kippur isn't, you know, the way, you know, many people look at it, oh, what a hard day. You can't eat. You can't do this. You can't eat. You can't do that. You have to be in shul. No, that's not what it is. Rabbi Sajagon only counted the mitzvah saseh, meaning, wow, what an opportunity. It's a day when you don't eat. No, it's a day in which you project that not eating can be a very spiritually satisfying. It wouldn't be, you know, satisfying if you had to do it every day. But for that one day a year, in the context of everything else that you're doing, of Kula Lashem, of, you know, imitating Malachim, of showing the capacity of man, his potential, so it's thrilling. It's exhilarating to not eat on that day. It's V'nisim es nafsha seichem. Okay. So it's a kiyum. It's a mitzvah. The Torah dafka didn't write a lav, even if there is a lav, because it's a kiyum. That's the way you should look at Yom Kippur. I like to say, Frachino says it's the happiest day of the year because you're given the opportunity with great assistance of Itzuma Shoyom Mechaper to neutralize your Averos, but not just to neutralize your Averos, to behave in a way that sets the tone for what you really think is important all year round. Maybe we'll get Yom Kippur, we'll discuss it more fully. But that's the idea. So the same idea would be here. If there is one thing to count, the smak chooses the lav, and the Rav Sajagon chooses the assay in the Azharos, so maybe it's a struggle for the nature of Isur Malach on Shabbos. The smak sees it fundamentally as a lav, as things you shouldn't be doing. And and Rav Sajagon in the Azharos says, no, the rest from Malacha, it's like I said in my Hakdama, right? It's not simply Vayichulu HaShemayim and Vayichal Elokim, but it's like the Tefillah says, it's Tachlis Maaseh Shemayim Baretz. It's the whole week and the whole world revolving around Shabbos. So in a sense, the Shvisam and Malacha is a kiyum. It's a chiyum and a kiyum, not just an Iser and a Sheval Tase. So that would be an important argument. Okay. There are some Achronim who say that this is true generally. I came across recently a tshuva of the Shaul HaMeshiv, who says all lavin of Shabbos are really just a way of supporting the mitzvah saseh. He says it for another reason, But I just thought that's exactly what I think should be said for the Azaras of Rapsajagon. Okay. Anyways, getting back to Ellie's second instinct, right? The first one we just took care of, the maybe part, with further clarification. But let's go back to his second instinct, which was, Ellie, the emphatic,
yes.
There is, the emphatic yes. There is a mitzvah say in addition to the law of Shabbos. Okay, but now we just have to reformulate the question on two levels, as we said. Number one, are they identical in their scope? If so, should they be counted in minyan mitzvos? That becomes a methodological question. In other words, it could be Rav Sanjagard and the smock. Now, don't count things twice if they have no difference in scope. And it could be that the Rambam and the Chinuch and the smog do. Right? So the question number one, is there a difference in cases? If there is a difference, what are those differences? What is included in the lav and not in the assay, or the assay and not in the lav, as the case may be? Even if we were to say that fundamentally the principle of Rabbi Yochum Fishel Perlo is correct, even for some of the other Rishonim, namely, they will not count an assay and a lav, at least not a minyan of mitzvos, that doesn't deny that there's an assay, but at least in Taryag, unless there's no duplicate, unless there's not complete duplication. But even then, could we argue with Rabbi Yochum Fishel Perlo, just as we might argue with him about the default position, could we argue with him that even if there's no practical nafkamina in the scope of the assay and the lav, it's still legitimate to count them even if you don't count pure reinforcements if there's a conceptual difference? There could be a conceptual difference between the assay and the lav even if the hechetimtzis and the scope is identical. Okay, something to look at, to think about. Not only here, but about minyan mitzvos generally. Okay, so what are the indications? So if you look at the minyan mitzvos, Eliezer, so what impression do you get? Chinuch, did you look at the chinuch?
Yes, so the
okay.
So the Rambam contrasts the aseh of Shabbos, and he sees it as, it seems like he sees it as being almost exactly the same thing as the Rosh.
At least in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Right, if you look in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, then what Eliezer says is certainly true. We get the impression that we're dealing with a mirror. Shvisa b'shvim imalacha mitzvah asei. Rambam begins with that. Shnei Rabbi Yama Shvi Tishvos. B'chol ha'osa b'malacha b'tol mitzvah asei b'avar alosa asei. Shnei malosa asei kol malacha. Ma'u chayv alasiyas malacha? If you only had Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, then certainly the impression you would get would be that these are identical. However, we don't only have Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Right, Eliezer?
Yes, so
what else do we have?
So,
very good. Yeah. Tishbos, correct. Nemer Batorah Tishbos. And what's the problem there?
So he's quoting all the, seems like the Rabbana and Shibosis.
Yeah. Afilo midvarim she'ena malacha famous Rambam chayv lishbos mehen. Midvarim harbein she'asu chachamim mishum shvus mehen dvarim asur mitnei she'en domo le malachos mehen dvarim asur mitnei she'en yavo mehen isra skila the Elohim, and so on. So the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, if you had it in isolation, would leave us with one impression. This is a seriously problematic Rambam. In Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, it seems like the Rambam thinks that Shvusim are included in Tishbos. Echoes of the Ramban, which we're about to mention in just a minute. Right? It sounds like the Rambam said what the Ramban ended up saying long before the Rambam did. Long before the Ramban did. I mean, the Rambam is the one who will deserve the credit. Except that if it's really true, so then the Mechilta and the Sifra will deserve the credit. Okay. So the Rambam is a bit of a problem. What about something a little less problematic? What about Sefer Chinuch? I mean, you're right about Aleph Aleph, but we have the other problem. And what about Mitzvah Seh by the Rambam? I should also mention that.
So,
and the Sefer Mitzvos, Essen and Lav. And what impression do you get?
Also, it seems also there that you're saying that it's a
parallel to Malacha. Mm, parallel in the Malacha. Malacha certainly is included in both.
He added one thing.
Ah, what?
The reason it repeats it a number of times.
Okay. Shvisas Eved, Shvisas Behema, Katan, right? Are included in the Mitzvah Saseh. Mitzvah Saseh number, what is it? Kuf Nun Dalad?
Yeah.
You have it there? Anybody have the text? Who has it? Eliezer, you have it?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. So the Aleinu part sounds like Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. As for the Al Ben Teinu, the Al, what is it? Al Avdeinu. It doesn't mention Katan there. That already is raises a question. Namely, are they included in the lav? Well, it could be not. It could be for technical reasons, or maybe for more fundamental reasons. Right? If not, then we have a discrepancy. We have Perek Kaf Aleph Halacha Aleph, and we have Shvisas Eved Ubehema in the Aseh, but apparently these go beyond the lav. So it would appear. So we'll get back to the Rambam in just a minute. The Chinuch and the Smag seem clearer that there's an identity in terms of the scope of the lav and the aseh. On the other hand, is there any indication in the chinuch and the smag whether they're both kiyumim or both isurim, or one is a kiyum and one is an isur? Well, this already is much more subtle. Ami, anything in the chinuch? Or, well, it's interesting to note just that the language of the chinuch in mitzvah lamed beis definitely emphasizes not only what you shouldn't be doing, but what you should be doing to establish the spirit of the day of Shabbos. As I would have thought that the formulation of the Rambam, in Mitzvah Lamed Beis, should in fact have been put in Pei Hei. The fact that it's in Lamed Beis may indicate that, even though he counts both, he thinks that it's a kind of a lavar of Bishnayim, but that the Aseh is dominant. Almost, you know, like Rav Sajagon, but with a different methodological twist. That certainly may also be the case with regard to the Smag. Anybody know why? Anybody see the Smag? Stephen? The old Smag person from way back? No? Yaakov? Anybody see the Smag? The Smag uses a language, even in the Lav, of Vitzivanu. And the Marshal, in his Perish on the Smag, says just notes that usually the smag, when he speaks about a lav, says vihiziranu. Hiziranu is a language of Iser. Tzivanu is a language of chiyuv, of kiyum. So again, it's a little diuk, it's not a big diuk, but it's something. Since we're already sensitive to this issue, because of the smag and because of Reb Sajagon and because of everything else, so it's something to know. Again, I wouldn't base a concept on it alone, but it's something. It's a piece of cumulative evidence with bigger pieces of cumulative evidence as the foundation. Okay. This question may also depend on the makor. Right, Kiva noted before. There's a debate in the Rishonim about the makor of the Aseh of Shabbos, if there is one. Ari, I've neglected you so far. Okay, well, we'll change that. The Aseh of Shabbos has three makoros, right? Three potential that Rishonim. Do you know who says what or which? There's the Shmartem, there's Tishbos, and there is Shabbosa. Correct? Rambam uses Tishbos in Aleph Aleph, in Chaf Aleph Aleph, I think in Sefer HaMitzvot as well. Who else uses Tishbos? Tosas on Samech Tes, Amud Aleph, also uses Tishbos in one of the answers of Tosas. Okay? Who uses Shabboson? Ari? Who uses Shabboson? First of all, one Gemara, and a prominent Gemara, namely? Tzvi? Kufidal, the Gemara of Knivas Yerek, the Gemara when it once quotes the Asay, quotes Shabboson. Okay, who else quotes Shabboson, likes Shabboson? Ramban on the Torah, and Ramban on Samech Tes Samen Aleph. Ramban likes Shabboson very much. I'm not surprised. I'll explain in a minute. And who has Ushmarten? See? Tosas on Samach Tesam and Aleph has a Deya Ushmartem. The Bahag has Ushmartem. The Ireim has Ushmartem. A number of the Moriah Mitzvahs have Ushmartem. So what would you say, Ari? What would you say about this? The differences, again, subtle. Does it matter what the Makor is? Let's say you have three Psukim candidates. Let's say the issue isn't so much what else the Psukim are being used for, but which is the best way to convey what you want to convey through the Mitzvah Saseh. Yes and no. On the one hand, it's more negative because it sounds like it's something you have to, you know, have to guard against. I think that's what you're saying. On the other hand, it is a it's an initiative guarding, right? Ushmartem. But I think by and large you're correct. Okay. What about Shabboson? Well, I gave it away by saying that. I gave it away already, really, because I said that it doesn't surprise me that the Ramban likes Shabbos.
Right, Ramban seems to be saying that the Asseh and the Lavi are sort of a combination of one idea,
the
spirit of the day.
Shabboson is what's unique about Shabboson. It focuses on the day, on the Yom. It means transform this day into a day of Shabbos. Don't just avoid Malacha on Shabbos, which is A, passive, and B, relates to the Gabra. Shabboson relates to the Yom. Make this Yom a Yom Shabboson. You're obligated to do things that cause a transformation in the day. It's a mystical halachic concept, more halachic than mystical. Right? Transform the day into Shabboson. So that makes sense if you focus on the Kiyum. That's why I said I like it for the Ramban in particular. I think the Ramban was drawn to it because the Ramban has this idea about the spirit of the day, as you put it. Tishbos, I think, is somewhere in between. On the one hand, it doesn't have a negative connotation, like Shmira. On the other hand, it's not a transformation of the Yom. It is passive. I mean, Tishbos refers to the Gavra. It's active-passive. It tells the Gavra what he should do, and what he should do is be b'shev al tasa, he should rest. So it's, I would say, Tishbos is somewhere in the middle. Okay. So these are possible indications if of the nature of the essay, whether it's just an echo of the lav or it represents a kiyum, either in the yom or the gavra, or etc. Possibly the makor helps us. Okay. More important, of course, is the more concrete issues. Are there real nafkaminas? So now we get to the issue of the scope of assay and lav being actually different. Ellie, so what's the first thing to discuss? The question of drabanans. Are drabanans included in the assay, even though they're certainly not included in the Isser Malacha? So, in terms of the earlier Makaros, you have the Sifra, and you have the Mechilta, both of which are quoted in Rashi in Shemos, in Parshas Bo. Right? Rashi quotes them. What do they seem to indicate? Ashrei? I said, you have the Sifra and you have the Mechilta. Rashi quotes them in his Perash Al HaTorah in Shemos, both of which indicate what? About Drabanans and Shabbos.
About Ramban.
Okay, the Ramban quotes Rashi.
Okay, so
Ramban in Shemos has one reaction, and the Ramban in Vayikra has a different reaction. That's the main one. That's the most important one. If you had to see one, that's the one to see.
Okay. There's a general asking about...
What's he responding to there? What's he trying to explain to Ramban? The Mechilta, the Sifra. That Rashi quotes, right? Yeah, in other words, well, with the Mechilta, but to say it simpler, the Sifra and the Mechilta, each in different cases actually, that in itself is interesting because you might be Mechaleg, indicate that what we normally identify as Drabanans are a violation of the Din Torah of the Asseh of Shabbos. That's what it appears, the Pashtus, reading the Mechilta and the Sifra. Well, the question, are we talking, is it a reference to Amir Lakum which we normally say Amir Lakum Shavuos, also shown him, right? The Gemara, most places. I mean, you didn't do it, you had a non-Jew do Malacha for you, Amir Lakum. So that we don't think is a Drabbanan. And yet it seems, according to some views in Medrash Halakha, that it's referred to in a Pasuk. Pasuk is Daraisa, obviously. Okay. Or it doesn't refer to Amir Lakum Shuas. Amir Lakum Shuas could be a situation where what the Akum does is a Chefsa Shal Malacha Daraisa. Just that since he does it, not you, that's what makes a Drabbanan. Or you can have the opposite case, where you have you're doing it. In other words, you're the one being addressed. You're not allowed to do it. What are you not allowed to do? Even that whose content is drabanan, even a shvus. Okay. So in theory, you could also be mechalek between those two things. That's which is worse, you doing a shvus or the akum on your behalf doing a malacha? Which is worse? They're different, right? Mitzad maisa gavra, I guess you'd say, you're doing a shvus is maybe worse. Mitzad the chefta shel malacha that is being done, if that's what constitutes chilul or so on, or what disturbs the kedushas hayom, so then the amir la'akum of a daraisa might be worse, right? In either case, in both of these contexts, we find midrash halacha that seem to indicate that the Torah addresses these so-called drabanan situations. So the Rashi quotes it, and the Ramban in Shemo says, obviously, this is an asmachta bialma, because it's just inconceivable that the Torah would be speaking about drabanans. Pretty straightforward argument. Okay. In similar vein, we have the Gemara Eli just told us, correct? You want to look at it? Want to read it quickly for us? The Gemara Daf Kufi Dalid about Knivas Yerek. Again, it's relevant to Yom Kippur coming up. Perhaps if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos. This year it does, right? Ooh, right. So this is halacha lemaisa. Right? Can you shave your vegetables or not? Or prune, pare down your vegetables? Whatever does he do with those vegetables? Can you do it on Mishum Agmas Nefesh, on this Yom Kippur or not?
No.
What? Okay. Actually, the Malah Halacha, it's a machlokas between anybody? How does Rambam paskin? Before we read the Gemara, even. What? You can't. Who paskins you can? On a regular Shabbos, you can't. That's what we paskin. On a regular Yom Kippur, you could. That's a machlokas also. Who says you could? Even on Yom Kippur, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos? Balamor. Okay? I don't think I gave it to you, but Balamor. Okay. So this Yom Kippur, when you're, you know, but it doesn't matter. If you hold now that you know that Vinisim is only a mitzvah saying that even the Tzom is an exhilarating experience, so you're not going to be one, you're not going to be looking forward to Mishum Agmas Nefesh, and you're not going to need to do the Knivas Yerek. Okay. But go ahead. What are you reading? Go ahead. What is it? Amar Abba, Amar Avuna, right? Amar Abba, Amar Avuna, right? Amar So here's the Gemara that says Shabbosom Shavos. Right, that's the Malkar. Lamai, go ahead. Ilim Lamalacha. So what's the assumption of the Gemara right here? That for Malacha, you wouldn't need a mitzvah saseh. That's also interesting. In other words, this is part of what we've been discussing. If you have a lav which captures Yisur Malacha, at this point in the Gemara thinks, well, you have a lav, you don't need an assay. That doesn't mean that the assay doesn't also apply to Malacha. It could be that it does. But the point is, if it only applied to Malacha, there would be no need for it. Right? Go ahead. Ella?
Ella lav, Akinus Yerek.
And Knivas Yerek, you understand, is not a Malacha, because it's not, it's already Nakar from the ground, so it's not coats there. It's shaved, whatever it is, shaving the vegetables or preparing them for the food. Go ahead. For the meal. Oh. Okay. So basically, the Gemara comes up with a second day of, even if. So either the Aseh, there are 2 days in the Gemara, either the Aseh refers to Knivas Yerek, but of course it doesn't really only refer to Knivas Yerek. Knivas Yerek is a proxy for, we don't know exactly how to draw the, you know, how to draw the, you know, where to draw the line here. Knivas Yerek like Shvusim are included in the Aseh. Is that include also, would that be Amir Lakum, would that be other Shvusim? You know, what is unique about Knivas Yerek? Not any Drabanan probably. This particular drabbanon and the like-minded drabbanons, whatever that is, it doesn't matter to us. At the moment, it doesn't make a difference, right? That's one possibility, right? We just don't know if we say that whether the aseh also refers to malacha, but in addition refers to knivas yerek, right, or only refers to knivas yerek and doesn't refer to malacha at all. Okay, which again might support this maram in Tosis of the smak. And so on, that issue. That's an interesting question. Or it's lav or alav biasei velo sasei. Correct? But what does lav or alav biasei velo sasei mean? As we said before, we're not sure. It means to reinforce. But it's identical. Identical in scope and identical in theme. Or does it mean lav or alav biasei velo sasei is another way of saying that that there are two perspectives that you violate here. Even though it's the same scope, but you're violating two different themes. That's what we mean by labro. So there are several open questions in the reading of this Gemara. But at minimum, it seems like the Medrash Halacha that this Gemara has one day that says that you violate a drabanan, you violate a daraisa. Correct? Okay. Who denies it? Tosus, exactly. Read it very quickly. Dio Luri. That's a very interesting question. Right? I mean, the assumption of Tosis is that either way, if Shabbos is Asur, but a regular Yom Kippur is Mutter. Right? You just asked that before. Correct? Tosis says, had this been an Isur Daraisa, that's inconceivable. Why? If it's an Anadar, he says, Anadar, Bana level, you can be Mechalik between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. Why Mishumag Masnefesh? Okay, but if it had been Daraisa, then the distinction between Yom Kippur and Shabbos is inconceivable. The fact that we distinguish between Yom Kippur and Shabbos shows that this is not Smachta B'Alma. That's what Tosa says. Okay. Look at Rashi. Does Rashi agree or not? Okay, how do you know? Oh, this is a very, very important Rashi, in my opinion. A very interesting Machlokes in Rashi and Tosis. Tosis ignored the Rashi. Right, if Tosis had accepted Rashi, then he wouldn't have had a raya that this is an asmachta d'alma. Correct? Because what's implicit, what bothered Tosis is, there's a concept of Shabbason on Yom Kippur as well as on Shabbos. So if it's a violation of Shabbos, it has to be a violation of Yom Kippur, and then the issue isn't only Shabbos shecholios b'Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur shecholios b'Shabbos, I should say. That's a bothered Tosis. But according to Rashi, he says something very important, albeit very quietly. According to Rashi, Rashi gives us an important yisod, namely, Shabbason of Yom Kippur has a different meaning than Shabbason of Shabbos. Maybe before Yom Kippur, I'll explain that a little more. But just very briefly, for now, right? The relationship between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is truly a fascinating relationship. One could argue. If you look at the psukim themselves, I'll just tell you the diuk right now, and then maybe we'll elaborate on that or something else for Yom Kippur. But if you look at the psukim in Parshas Emor, so Yom Kippur stands out in that its relationship to Mikra Kodesh is different than all of the other Yimei Kedusha. Every other Yom Kodesh, Mikra Kodesh, is linked up with Isra Malacha. It's true for Shabbos, it's true for Rosh Hashanah, it's true for Sukkot, it's true for Shavuos, it's true for Pesach. Every time, it can be in one direction or the other in terms of order, but it's Mikra Kodesh, Kol Melechas Avodah Lo Sasu. You can't do a Melechas Avodah, Mikra Kodesh. The one exception is Yom Kippur. There, the Torah links Mikra Kodesh with V'nisim Esnaf Shoseichem. And the Torah does it not only in Parshas Emor, but also in Achrimos, and also in Mishpatim. In Pinchas, in the Midbar. It's just, if you read the Pesukim very carefully, you just can't, you could miss it, but once you're looking for it, you can't miss it. It's just very fascinating. For some reason, Mikra Kodesh is treated differently in Yom Kippur than anywhere else. That's number one. Number two, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shvi'is HaSasar, there's an interplay constantly between the two themes of Yom Kippur, the Isra Malacha and V'nisan. Midram calls the whole section Shvisas Asar, and he explains there's Shvisa Mimalacha and there's Shvisa Me'achila. Shvisa Mimalacha is a term that we're all familiar with. Shvisa Me'achila is a strange term. And if you look carefully at different Gersols of the Rambam, whether or not the Inuyim, the other Inuyim, are related to Achila or they're related to Yisr Malacha, it's almost as if, for the Rambam, Yisr Malacha and V'nisem are two sides of the same coin. And the Torah already set the tone for this by saying that the Mikra Kodesh, which is normally associated with Yisr Malacha, on Yom Kippur is associated with V'nisem Esnaf Shoseichem. I understand this to mean, the short answer anyway, it's part of a much larger discussion. I understand this to mean that while other Yomim Tovim, Rosh Hashanah is also tricky this way, maybe we'll speak about that tomorrow a little bit, while other Yomim Tovim have a generic quality, meaning they are, every Yom Tov is a Yom Tov, and it's also the particular Yom Tov. It's Chag HaMatzos, and it's also Mikra Kodesh. It's Chag HaSukkos, and it's Mikra Kodesh. It's Chag HaShavuos, and it's Mikra Kodesh. It's Yom Zichron Trua, and it's Mikra Kodesh, and it gets that general character from Yisra Malacha of Shabbos, from the Mikra Kodesh of Shabbos, like I tried to explain the other day in the beginning of Parsha Samar. That's how I understand the Pesukim. The one exception is Yom Kippur. Again, the Rambam didn't deal with Yom Kippur in the context of Hilchos Yom Tov. He had his own section after Hilchos Shabbos Erevin, then comes Shvi'is HaSasar. Then comes Hilchos Yom Tov. When he lists the Yomim Tovim at the beginning of Hilchos Yom Tov, right, he doesn't mention Yom Kippur. He mentions all the others but Yom Kippur, which is sensible because in the previous section he dealt separately with Yom Kippur, Shvi'is HaSasar. I think that the Rambam and the Pesukim earlier imply, although not all Rishonim agree, clearly, and there are many important Afkamina Lahalacha, there are other indications as well. But at least the Psukim imply, and I think the Rambam believes, that Yom Kippur does not have a generic quality of Yom Tov. Yom Kippur is unique. Sui generis. There's nothing like Yom Kippur. It's not Yom Tov plus. It's just Yom Kippur. Shabbos Shabbosim. And therefore, the Torah has its Mikra Kodesh, V'nisim Esnaf Shoseichem. Even what it seems to be generic is not. And that's why, even though it's not Shabbos, it has the full complement of Yisra Malacha too. So the point is that Rashi says when the Torah says Shabboson and Yom Kippur, it doesn't mean the same that it means in Shabbos. It doesn't refer to Yisra Malacha. It refers to V'nisim Esnaf Shoseichem. This Rashi also works well. Not so much that the Yisra Malacha and the V'nisim are two sides of the same coin. Not that part so much. But the idea that the Mikra Kodesh Shabboson of Yom Kippur is expresses itself in a totally unique way. Unique not only from the other Yom Tovim, unique from Shabbos. So is it possible to say that the Shabbason of Yom Kippur expands other things, the Inuyim, for example? But it doesn't include Knivas Yerek, the expansions that the Asay accomplishes on Isur Malach on Shabbos, because V'nisem is to Yom Kippur what, you know, if this was a standardized test, I guess you'd say, the V'nisem is to Yom Kippur what Isur Malach is to Shabbos. And therefore the expansion on Shabbason level for Yom Kippur is in V'nisem. I think that's what Rashi says. If you said that, then that answers Tosis's question. Because what did Tosis say? It's inconceivable on a Daraisa level to distinguish between Yom Kippur and Shabbos with regard to this issue. After all, they both have a Shabbason. Not according to Rashi, not according to this perspective. Okay. In any case, so according to Rashi, you're in theory at least open to reading the Gemara Kipshuto. And Kipshuto is not that this is an Asmachta. Again, here you have the text doesn't read that it's an Asmachta. It's logic that makes compelling, or seems to make compelling, that it's an Asmachta. If you read the Mechilta, you read the Sifra, and you read this one day in the Gemara about Knivas Yerek, the clear impression you get is that a Drabanan violates the Daraisa of the Asay of Shabbos. That's the impression you get. If you can't abide the logic of that, I don't mean that critically. I've said many times for people who've been in the past, good pshat is a function of what's legally and logically plausible too, right? If you read a text, kipshuto, but it doesn't make sense, or it doesn't make sense based on its context or based on its general cultural legal foundation, so then that's not good pshat either. Right? Good pshat is a combination of reading the text with as little adjustment as possible, assuming that the issue was formulated, accurately, but within, a framework that makes it reasonable and logical, right? Not reasonable and logical to us. Reasonable and logical based on the Makoros themselves. Right? So the point is, you would want to read this Gemara if you could justify it. You'd want to read this Gemara, you'd want to read the Mechilta, you'd want to read the Sifra, Kipshutam, that this is a violation of the Doraisa. Tosa says you can't because it doesn't make sense in Yom Kippur. The Ramban, his Perish Allah Torah, says you can't because it just doesn't make any sense. How can you have a Drabanan that is a Doraisa? Isn't that a Stira in Minei Ubei? A Drabanan isn't a Doraisa. Okay. But according to Rashi, We're holding out the possibility. So here's where the Ramban comes into play. Namely, who was I asking before? Ashrei? Yeah? Go ahead.
Ramban
in Shmo said Rashi is just quoting an Asmachta. But the Ramban in Vayikra said, I've seen the light. Correct? Go ahead. Yeah. Well, he's not vacillating in concluding that these makoros are speaking about a din d'oraisa. He's struggling a little with the formulation because of what he said in Shemos, namely, how can a drabana be a d'oraisa? But how does he explain it? So how can a drabana be a d'oraisa? And it's what the Ramban says is, of course, one of the great Ramban's ala Torah, and it's a yisod, for kol Torah kula essentially. But what's the idea?
That the Rabbanan,
does that mean that the Torah had in mind details and the Rabbanan simply revealed them to us? Probably not, because then they wouldn't really be the Rabbanan in any sense. Right. I mean, does the Ramban deny that an aspect of the Shavuos that you're about to accomplish is the Rabbanan? Not really. I mean, for example, with the halacha of Shvusin ben Ashmashos, Safek, according to that day in the Gemara, would we say that it's not true according to the Ramban? Certainly not. It'd be against too many Gemaras. Do we still apply Sveik Rabbanan Lekula, Sveik Raisa Lechumra, and so on and so forth? Absolutely. Right? So it's not that the Rabbanon have revealed what the Daraisa meant, as much as the Rabbanon have the koach, right, to, they have input into the system. Sometimes their determinations then take on or assume a Daraisa status. So the way to explain this is, basically, does everybody have language of the Ramban here? Basically, the idea is that the Aseh of Shabbos is meant to establish that in addition to the technical violations, there is a spirit of the day. Right? And the Ramban says, that's point number one. Point number two is it possible to be fully loyal to the letter of the day and to trample all over the spirit of the day? Namely, not to violate any of the Lamites Avos Malachos Doraisa, and yet to bypass the real concept, or a real concept of Shabbat. Is that possible? Yes. And the Ramban gives, right, Jeremy, gives an example, or several. Which example? Yeah, a guy can have his business open, right? And he can, transport within the Eruv, and he can sell without writing, right? He can take money, that's only a drabanan. If he wants to write on credit, he doesn't even have to do that. So the Ramban says, and is that Shabbos? He could spend all day business as usual, like a regular Yom Kol. Is that going to be Shabbason? So he didn't violate one of the Lamites Avos Malachos. Basically, the Ramban is describing powerfully the concept of the spirit of the law. There is the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, according to the Ramban. It's not only the spirit of the law, right? But it's not also only the letter of the law. There are two dinim. So the Ramban says, when it comes to the spirit of the law, the Rabbanan have input. Why? Because once the Rabbanan say that something is prohibited, and you go ahead and you do it anyway, the role of the Rabbanan in Jewish life, in Halacha, is such that you can't divorce that from the spirit of the day. If the Chacham said this is inappropriate to do because it's Uvda Dechol, and you do it, so you're not just slapping the Chacham in the face. What you're saying is, I don't really care about Uvda Dechol, which means you don't really care about Shabbason. That's what the Ramban describes. So if you ask, are these Rabbanans or are they Doraisas according to the Ramban? The answer is they're both. They start off, and on some level they are Rabbanans. Meaning the Rabbanan identified things that they feel on a detailed level, on an objective level, you know, heretofore will now be violations of the spirit of the day. And if you decide, say, I'm a better, if you say, I don't care, so you're basically saying you don't care about the spirit of the day, and you're violating it. And if you were to say, I don't care, I don't acknowledge that the Chacham are the ones who have the right to dictate what is and what isn't appropriate for the spirit of the day, you have no right to do that either. Because the Rabbanu Shalom put the power in the hands of the Chachamim when he said, Lo Sasur. There's a certain irony, of course, in all of this. This is the Ramban, and of course this is the same Ramban who didn't like the Rambam's famous view that, you know, when you violated the Rabbanan, you violated the Raisa. More, the Rambam says that more generally, when you violate the Rabbanan, you violate the Raisa of Lo Sasur. And the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam says this in Sefer Mitzvos, and he also says it in Hilchos Ma'amrim. And the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos says that doesn't make any sense. What about Sveikad Rabbanan Lekula, and so on and so forth. But what the Ramban does here with Shabbason on the spirit of the law level, and not, you know, across the board in Al-Halacha, is something similar to what the Rambam did, possibly, depends on how you understand the Rambam, but at least many of the objections that the Ramban raises against the Rambam could have been raised against the Ramban himself. But he understood what he meant, and maybe he didn't read the Rambam the way the Rambam meant. But either way, what emerges according to the Ramban is a very powerful statement about the Mitzvah Aseh of Shabbos. Is there a difference in scope? Absolutely. That difference in scope reflects a difference in orientation. Yeah.
So the term that the Rabban are defining, the spirit of the law, is that coming from the basic idea that the name Malacha is in terms of our definition of what exactly Malacha is, or what Shabbos means?
I think so. I think so. And I'm going to use that. I certainly think so. Because otherwise I think there'll be a very interesting discrepancy in the Ramban. What do I mean?
You then end up with two different... you have to find...
If there's no overlap, there's a problem. Yeah, and not only that, Not only that, but I think there's a serious technical problem in the Ramban. What other Ramban am I referring to? What? Regarding what? What I just mentioned? You mean Los Asor? I mean, that okay, but specifically on the essay of Shabbos. Daniel? Yeah. The Ramban and Samach Tes, which I'm getting a little ahead of ourselves, but hopefully we'll finish this off tomorrow. The Ramban and Samach Tes discusses the problem that Tosis raises, which is the Gemara is looking, we mentioned it yesterday, the Gemara is looking for Lamed Tes Shkagos. So the Gemara says, Diyadalei B'Shabbos, you have to have a certain minimum knowledge, right, in order to be Shigigas, in order to be Zadon Shabbos, so you can be Shigigas Malachos. What do you know? So the Gemara discusses, what about the Asay? What about maybe you think that there's a Lab No Kares? I'm sorry, what about the Lab No Kares? So Tosa says, what about the Asay? You know the Asay. Right? Tosa doesn't give an answer. The Ramban says, what's the answer to Yoni that Ramban gives? Knowing the Asay without the Lab is not enough. So I find that Ramban to be particularly fascinating in light of the Ramban Ala Torah and Vayikra. But with the point that Chaim's making, which is are these two things completely unrelated? That's, could you have the spirit of the law without the substance of the law? Or can you? Or is the point of the Ramban that once you have the substance of the law, in addition, that creates a spirit, right, which goes beyond it? Right? In a sense, it's similar to the question I raised before about Knivas Yerek. When the Gemara originally says, well, you don't need the mitzvah saseh for kniva for the malachos because we have a law for that. So what do you need it for? Kniva siyarek. Did the Gemara mean only for kniva siyarek? Or do they mean if you're going to have kniva siyarek, then the duplication of the malachos plus kniva siyarek is sensible? Otherwise not. What do they mean of those two things? Right, that's kind of what Chaim's asking me now in the Ramban. So I think that the answer in the Ramban is clear. Well, from a technical point of view, it's certainly clear that if you violate any malacha on Shabbos, according to the Ramban, like the Rambam, like the Chinuch, like the Smag, you violate the Lab and the Asay. But what Chaim's asking me, I'll just take a step further, did it have to be that way? Not is it that way, did it have to be that way? I think the answer is it had to be that way. And I'll explain more tomorrow, but that'll help us for that possible discrepancy in the Ramban, because what the Ramban says is Yediyas Asay Beli Yediyas Halav is not a Yediyah. Right? I would argue because that maybe isn't Yediyas Asay either. That's the point. But we'll discuss it more tomorrow when we finish this up. Yeah, Avi.
Doesn't the Re and Tosfos say that it's not that way? Because he said that when...
Well, the Re says this whole thing is an Asmachta. Because he says...
When he says that... when he wants that he had Yediyas Kulmin, so the Re wants to know why don't we just say that it's Yediyas Ushmarta and Mishra?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And he doesn't give an answer. But he doesn't give an answer.
That could be... So in other words, according to the Re, you can have Ushmarta and Shabbos even though you're violating the law as lawful.
No, it could be that what the Re means is that you know that the Lama Tes Malachos are Asuros... But you just think that it's only Ba'asei, not Balav. It could be that the reason she taught that maybe the Bali Tosis in general. By the way, Tosis Shans in the Sifra also says that you know the words of the Sifra are Nasmach de Bialma. That it could be that Bali Tosis generally hold that that all there is in the Asei is the Malacha. Therefore, the question is: let's say you know Isser Malacha. But you think it's a say, you think it's an assay, not a lav. That's what Tosas asks, and Tosas doesn't give an answer. Right? Whereas in the Ramban's saying it's not enough. Tosas doesn't answer it's not enough. He doesn't answer one way or another. It sounds like he thinks it's a good question, and he doesn't have an answer. Okay, yeah.
Is there a possibility that Tosas holds it as some sort of assay, which has got no, doesn't go as far as an assay at all? Maybe some.
I mean, where would we get that from? I mean, that the simple reading of Tosas and the Gemara is not that way. Meaning, the Gemara says, let's say you know about the Lav and you don't know about Kares. That means the same complement of Yisra Malacha, but you don't know the full implications of violation. an onesh level. So the simple pshat is that Tosfos asks, and let's say you don't even know about Karis, you don't know about Karis, you don't know about Skila, you don't even know about the Lab, but you know about the Aseh. The simple reading is it's plugged into that Gemara, meaning you know that the Malachos are Asuros, or some of them are, but you think it's only Baseh. Now, that's a simple reading. I'm just saying for the Ramban, it's fascinating because since we know the Aseh really is independent, so what's the problem? That's why I'm raising the question. Yeah. So I think the answer is it's complicated. To begin with, to determine, it's the same thing I would say for the Rambam and Lotasar. To determine whether you have violated and triggered a Doraisa, you treat it first as a Drabbanan. But once it's been established that you violated the Drabbanan on its own terms, like Sveika, Lekula, and so on, and those things, then you violated the Doraisa of the Aseh of Shabbos. No, you'd say Safek Durabanan. I'm not sure what the case would be, but if initially the question is whether you're violating the Shavuos, I think you treat it as a Durabanan. I'm sure you treat it as a Durabanan. Once according to the rules of Durabanan, which include Safek Lekula, you're in violation, then we say you violated a Doraisa.
Also, according to Rabban, if you did it as a Durabanan, the word goes already, it would still be possible to be over on the essay.
Again, one more time. If so I think that's an open question. I think the answer is some things yes, but it wouldn't be defined by Shavusin of the Rabban. I mean, it would be in obvious things. I think yes. In other words, even before the Rabbanon determined what they think should fill in the blanks for the Aseh, I think it's obvious that the way the Rabban understands the Aseh is that the spirit of Shabbos demands a certain minimum. Consistent behavior, and if you're just going to technically skirt all the lametas of malachos, but you're not going to spend your day in the pursuit of Shabbaton, that you're going to violate the Aseh even without Shlusin. I think even after the fact it could be that way. What? Well, Kavod V'Onik might be drabbanan, might be midivrei neviim, but the Rav used to say that Kavod V'Onik is a kind of expansion of the Aseh in Achanami. Yeah. I think that's what you just asked me, right? Yeah. I think the answer is yes. Although what it will be, I think it'll have to be more obvious before the Rabbanan define it. Because once the Rabbanan define it and they have the right, because they are the guardians of Halacha, right? And they're not just technicians, they play that central role in the system. So then not to ignore what they think is a violation is to slap the spirit in the face as well as the Rabbanan in the face. But are there? I think it has to be before the Rabbanan, or if the Rabbanan doesn't say about something yet, then it is Asur. I think it has to be, you know, more obvious that it slaps the spirit in the face, spirit of Shabbos in the face, for it to be. But I think absolutely yes. Absolutely. Because it doesn't make sense. I mean, the Torah isn't dealing in a vacuum. I mean, before these shvusin were said, or any shvusin were said, if there was such a moment, there was still a concept of Shabbason. Just I think it would be, you know, it would have to be much more unambiguous what that is. And I don't know what it is, but for sure I think the answer is yes.
There's a lot of Achronim in the Ramban is including only the Drabanans, which
yeah? Only Drabanans?
Yeah.
I don't remember the Lechem Mishnah saying it that way. Only Drabanans, or?
I thought that's how I read it.
Uh-huh. I mean, as opposed to Doraisas, or as opposed to things that aren't Drabanans?
No, in other words, the only things which you can violate Shabbaton with are what? It's like Masura.
I don't think the Ramban says. Ramban does not say Masruah Chasam. I mean, in you know, Isra Malacha and Chalamoid, we have the expression Masruah Chasam Lechachamim. But the fact is, and even then, I think it's an open question how to read it. The Ramban does not say Masruah Chasam Lechachamim here. So it's interesting that I didn't notice that in the maybe because I have certain bias and I have to look at it again. But in the Ramban al Torah, I don't read it that way at all. I think it's not Masruah Chasam Lechachamim. It's partially that, but it's not only that. And yeah, I mean, for example, you know, this is a big issue. Bizmanenu again, halacha l'maisa, but as a matter of halacha and hashkafa, well, you know, what one should do on Shabbos? What are appropriate activities for Shabbos? Very important. Playing ball on Shabbos becomes a very controversial issue in the last number of years, right? Uvda d'chol. You could argue whether it is or isn't. That's a different point. But you know, this idea that you do it in this way, you do it in that way, you do it within the Eruv, there's no tikkun mana, and you're scot-free, that's not true. You have to determine whether it's in the spirit of Shah. That's the Ramban. But of course, as I say, it's not only the Ramban, it could also be the Rambam. That's what that's what Eliezer pointed out, that Perek Chaf Aleph, Halach Aleph, and the Rambam implies, even earlier than the Ramban, that's 2 days in the Kesef Mishnah, that you're referring to also, right? Whether the Ramban's position is really already foreshadowed in the Rambam. The Lach Mishnah has some other suggestion. Maybe it's because again, there's a steer between the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, and Perek Chaf Aleph, Halach Aleph, or so it seems. So I think the Lach Mishnah suggests that we're talking about Durabanans that flow from the Malachos. I mean, it has to be the Cheftza Shel Malacha, but you do it Bederech Durabanan, like Chatzi Shir. Right, that's interesting. That's an interesting compromise. An interesting way to be Miyashev, again, not for the Ramban, but an interesting way to be Miyashev the Rambam. But why should that be so? Why would you limit it to that? Right? So you could say, well, just as I said before, that Shvus Amir La'akum might be different than Malacha Durabanan, so too there might be a difference between a Malacha Daraisa B'derech Durabanan and pure Durabanans of either sort. Could be, maybe that's what the Lech Mishnah has in mind for the Rambam. Or is it something more, something relating to what the answer I gave to Chaim? Namely, you want to say that?
Oh,
okay. Namely, maybe one could suggest a pshat in the Rambam, just as I'm suggesting something for the Ramban, and that is that even if the asay of Shabbason transcends the lav, maybe it's inconceivable that it could exist without the lav. That's, could you have the asela? Could you only have halacha about the spirit of the day? Or another way to say that, maybe, without the foundation of lamitas malachos, you couldn't have the expanded Shabbosam. So maybe, as a suggestion, the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Aleph tells us that the asay, like the lav, is dependent upon and rooted in the malachos. And if it weren't for the lamitas alfas malachos and the fact that the asay mirrors that lav, then you couldn't have what you have in the chaf aleph halacha aleph. But it has to be founded in perek aleph halacha aleph. In the same way that according to the Ramban, the asay is more expansive and different than the lav, but it's still not yedias haShabbos if you don't know the lav, or if you don't know even the karis and the onesh of the lav. It's a more subtle, it's not two different dinim completely. What do I mean by it? Hashkafa-wise, what I mean by it is the spirit of the law is a wonderful thing. Right? It establishes that the law is values, not just details. That's critical. Again, many of the, I think, misunderstandings of many people who are sincere and count themselves as halachic Jews, but who don't always behave appropriately, comes from too, ironically, they criticize too literal an application of the law, but they themselves are guilty of too literal an application of the law. In other words, you know, I'm not violating. Show me where I'm violating. Right? That's the, where does it say in the Sif Katan and the Shulchan Aruch that what I'm doing is wrong? And if it's not in the Sif Katan and the Shulchan Aruch, then it's a matter of politics or policy and opinion, and I have leeway. Right? That's really not true. By and large, right? The halacha is both. Halacha is details, and on the details, there's a certain inflexibility. They're kind of a low plug. That's what being a mitzuveh means. It means you accept them even if you don't like them, even if they don't speak to you at the moment, or even for a particular generation. All things being equal, the norm is a norm. It's a chiyuv, it's an obligation. It's bigger than, you know, than you or the generation. That doesn't mean you don't make adjustments. You have ways to do that, proper ways. But that's the substance of the law. And then there's also the values of the law, right? Torah is meant to be a system of values. Again, no one developed that more effectively than the Ramban on the Torah, right? Ramban after Ramban in his Perush on the Torah establish that you can extract values from the details, right? But the point is that you can't compromise the details. And you also then have to have to use the details to develop the proper hashkafa or values. You do a disservice to the system when you only do the details, and you do a complete disservice to the system when all you do is extract that. That's what the reform movement did. They said, you know, ethical monotheism. You know, we take the values, which we like very much, but as for the form, the tzura, in which they were given, namely the details of the halacha, the substance, that we consider to be not binding. Right? Halacha considers both of these elements binding. But I would go further. What I would say is, it's not because if they happen to consider both to be binding. The sense is that, you know, you don't want to narrow or marginalize the halacha. There has to be values. But at the same time, it's the unique property of the halacha that its values flow from norms and from details and from substance. And had it been only values, as important and as valuable as honorable as they might be, the sense of kedusha, which comes from objectifying the norm, would be lacking, and it would ultimately erode the value of the values too. So in a sense, this relationship between the lav and the asay is a microcosm of Kedushas Yisrael, I would say. It's true in Shabbos, and it's true for other mitzvahs as well. Yeah.
And how does this happen if this value of resting on Shabbos, making Shabbos different and so on, is not one of the malachas of Mishkan? We define like this malachas as being some form of creative action that's very much prescribed.
Right.
How do we then jump into this larger theme of Shabbos when the three malachas are so...
I think from the psukim itself. I mean, psukim do say lo sasa kol malacha and so on. And they also say Shabbosom. They say Tishbos. I think certainly for what I'm suggesting for the Ramban and the Rambam, which is that these aren't two completely different dinim, but that they have to be connected to each other, is based on the idea that the psukim are understood this way. Namely, if you want to know what malacha is, you need to look at the Mishkan. And what you need to do is cease and desist. And that is a lehidamos. But in addition to that, but with that same foundation and framework, you need to be tishbos, or shmartem, or shabbosom. And that also has to be reflected in the way that the day unravels or unfolds on Shabbos. Then it's sensible, because the idea that everything revolves around it, it's tachlis, masa, bracious, if it ends up being things that you just don't do, it's strange. So I think it's precisely the different parshios in the Torah, and the different language, and the asay and the lav, and so on. And that's part of the interplay of what we spoke of before, too, with Reb Sadja going in the smack, and choosing to formulate a dafka and biasay or dafka below sasay, which one you want to emphasize more. But I think it's implicit in the psukim, including the Mishkan connection.
Does that become a new theme, though? It's not just about desisting from these creative acts, but now it's about creating a day that's unique and special?
Yeah, I'm suggesting for the Rambam and the Ramban that it's a connected theme, not a separate one. And therefore, you can never have one without... You certainly can't have the spirit of the law without the letter. Of course, if you have the letter without the spirit, that's also a violation of the essay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Just this with the Gabe, Rabbi's formula on the Rambam. What are we going to do about the Rambam meaning the Shvi'is Asur, who says that Shabbosom the first is a malacha?
And why does it bother? The Rambam says that in the beginning of the Shabbos too.
Right. Oh, exactly. But doesn't that...
I'm just saying that the Rambam, 20 prakim later, was able to expand on it. I don't mean it to, you know, exactly, but I kind of mean it conceptually. Because it was a Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, therefore there could be an expansion of Perek Chaf Aleph, Halacha Aleph. But if the Rambam had said in Perek Aleph what he said in Perek Chaf Aleph, then the impression you would have would be that these are two different dinim, that never the twain shall meet. Isur Malachas is based on the Lav, and in theory, the Asay is about the spirit of the day, separate from the details.
So you have Rashi sort of...
So therefore, the Rambam gives you the impression, and it's not only an impression, it really is it's like a foundation of a building. You know, the foundation of the building is Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, which is, there cannot be an asay, there could be no asay if it wasn't for Lamed Tesavos Malacha. And once that's established, and maybe a more acute violation of the spirit of the day of the asay, maybe there's even a more acute violation, whatever that means. I don't know if you can measure, within Essen, I don't know. But the point is that beyond that, it can expand, then there can be an extension of it. I don't mean extension like a later historical development. Chas v'shalom. I mean a conceptual extension of the Doraisa. You know, the Doraisa attaches itself to Isra Malacha, and from there it can expand out to other things.
So what Rabbi's saying is that when Tosis comes along and says, oh, Shabbos, it has to be in Esmachim, because Shabbos on here and Shabbos on here.
And Yom Kippur.
Now when the Rambam goes ahead and says, I'm still going to say that Shabbos doesn't refer to Inoy, like Rashi says, it's referring to Isra Malacha.
Right.
So
which he says in Perkei Avot.
Which Tosis would then say, okay, so the theme is here, it should be Isra on both.
I hear what you're asking. There's another question to ask here. Let me say two things. Number one is, even if we take this view of Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph being like the Ramban, which I prefer to do, the question still is, and what's included? Not every Drabbanan. For the Ramban, it's not every Drabbanan either. As I mentioned, you can be mechalik between Mir Lakum and Shusin. Knivas Yerik might be better, might be worse. That's number one. But number two, let me say something else. Either way, what I said for Rashi can still be true for the Rambam. Right? Namely, that the way that Shabbosim expresses itself on Yom Kippur can be different. Even if it refers to the mitzvah say of Malacha, can be different than... In Rashi, it's more radical, so it's the Nisan. Right? But we still ask ourselves the question, why is there an Isra Malacha of Yom Kippur... To begin with, it's not Shavosh Vasa Kom Lachtosh Barlikim Lasos. Right, so what is it? It's, again, maybe I'll have a chance to speak about it more, but what I think it is, that's part of emphasizing what's important on Yom Kippur, Lihi Damos, and so on. The pure spirituality of the day. Desisting from Malacha makes that statement too. But might that express itself differently than it does in Shabbos in terms of the Aseh part of it? I don't see why not.
In the spirit part.
Not in the norm part, in the letter part, it is the same.
So you're thinking Rashi still just splitting up the Asay into two pieces and saying
Rashi that, or who?
I'm sorry, for the Rambam, Rabbi saying that Rambam would make the same cloak as Rashi, that for Shabbos we would say Shabboson is one thing.
If you say Knivas Yerek is Asur B'Shabbos Min HaTorah, I don't know that that's true in the Rambam.
Even Al-Safal.
He doesn't mention, because I said before, you still have to decide. I mean, our Gemara has, this Gemara in Kufi Dalet has that Deya. Does the Rambam Paskin like that Deya that it's Asur Min HaTorah, Knivas Yerek? Or is he just saying some Shmusim are Drabbanan, are Daraisa? I don't know. I'm not sure. He doesn't mention Knivas Yerek being Asur Min HaTorah in Perek Chavalim. I don't know what's included in the Shvusim that he's referring. It could be only Shvusim Adom and the Malacha. Right? That's number one. The other point is that what about the Balamor, Yom Kippur Shekhali Yom Shabbos? I think that's even more intriguing. So you might say, you know, here's a bigger Kiddush. If you are going to, let's say Knivas Yerek is normally also B'Shabbos. How can it be better if it's Yom Kippur Shekhali Yom B'Shabbos? Can it be? Right? I mean, for the Balamor, it is.
Well, yeah, because there's a tachlis to your law right now.
Exactly. That's a call. Thank you very much. The answer is, exactly. The different motivation, you might say that Knivas Yerek, this is a chiddush to say, but I'm going to say it. The Knivas Yerek of Yom Kippur maybe is a kiyumun v'nisim esnash haseichem. It allows you, I said before, you know, once you realize what a great opportunity it is, and it's so exhilarating, you're not going to worry about the Knivas Yerek. Okay. But, you know, I guess, you know, there's a practical side. If it makes you fast better to do the Knivas Yerek, Mishumak Mas Nefesh, so that's a key in Vinisim Esnaf Shaseichem. So do we look at this, and let's say it's Chaliyos B'Shabbos. So number one, that would explain the first point that you're raising, which is, if according to the Rambam, Shabboson and Yom Kippur refers to Isur Malacha, not like Rashi, that it refers to Vinisen. So how would you say you're back with Tosis's problem? So it could be Yenachanami, that this is all Drabanan for the Rambam Knivas Yerek. But let's assume it's Doraisa, and we want to work it through. My answer would be, not really, because it still could be a Kiyum and Vinisen. And by virtue of the fact that it's a Kiyum and Vinisen, it's not a slap in the face to Isra Malacha. I'm not doing this gratuitously. If I keep my store open and all my deliveries, because it's within the Eruv and so on, so that's a slap in the face, the spirit of the day. But let's say it's Yom Kippur and it's Shabbos. and I do my knivas. My knivas yerek helps me. It's like a little snuff. I don't know if they do the snuff anymore. When I was growing up, about 70 or 80 years ago, in the city of Toronto, so snuff was very big. Do they still do snuff now? I haven't seen it in years, right? I remember it occurring to me that as a young lad, that does this snuff really make people think that they're that they have some sort of physical pleasure and it really helps them get through the fast? I guess it does. It's not physical, it's definitely psychological, right? Unless somebody knows something about snuff that I don't know. But this whole snuff thing was always being like a fascinating phenomenon.
It could be that the hunger professor likes cigarettes.
What?
It could be that the hunger professor likes cigarettes.
But the cigarette thing is partly psychological too, right? Because people who are craving to smoke, right? But they're able to suppress it on Shabbos and so on, right? Because they know that they can't have it.
Right. No, but I meant the
you say physically it suppresses it.
Chemically,
oh, you're saying chemically. Right. Okay, maybe you're right. I mean, you know better than I do. What? No, maybe you might be right. That's what that's what I'm asking, really. So, but the point is that the shmektabek, that's the proper phrase for it. It's mipnei agmas nefesh. It helps people fast. I think it's psychological. Maybe it's physical. But
is it the obvious opposite of knivas yerek? Knivas yerek is to give you more agmas nefesh, to give you less agmas.
No, I think the knivas yerek is to lessen your agmas nefesh. Or Shulchan says to increase your agmas nefesh.
Because you're preparing food.
And yet you can't eat it? Well, why do you want agmas nefesh on Yom Kippur?
You need some massage to take
it. Okay, I don't think that's a simple shot. I think the simple shot is that you feel secure that, that at the right time you'll have your meal. You're not worried about it. You're not. It takes away. That's, I think, most Farshim interpret.
Balmur, kosher part.
What?
What is Balmur that you need to feel kosher part?
No, that's something else. I think that's a little bit different. Now, okay, the nisim asnafshon, you want to feel that it's maybe. All I'm saying is that either way, it doesn't matter. In the end of the day, the point is that whatever the agmas nefesh, whether it's that agmas nefesh or this agmas nefesh, the point is, in light of the positive function that it accomplishes, we don't look at it anymore, right? As an escape from Shabbason. Even if it doesn't contribute to the Shabbason of Malacha. But within its context, we understand why it's being done. And it has that flexibility. It's not an objective letter of the law, halacha, to begin with. So that's why I think that even Rosh Hashanah, even Yom Kippur, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, even if it's also Midaraisa on a regular Shabbos, it could be Mutter, Yishamag Mos Nefesh. Okay. That's as far as the Din Drabban. I'm going to stop here. Even if you don't go so far and speak about the Drabbanans in this way, what about the other thing that Eliezer mentioned, right? In the Mitzvah Saseh, Kuf Nun Dalid, Shvisas, Behema, and Eved. And the parallel opposite of that, which is, Sammy, the Rebbe of the Rajba, the famous passage in Yavamas above, Mechamer. Well, the Mechamer, why do I say it's a parallel opposite? We'll just get it on the table, and then we'll finish up tomorrow. Why a parallel opposite? Ashrei? Stephen? What? It's part of the Isser, but not part of the Asay. Until now, we've looked at things that are where the Asay is more expansive than the Lav. Here, what if the Lav is more expansive than the Asay? So, if we're talking about reflecting two different themes, it doesn't matter whether it's expansive or it's restricted. Okay, well, we'll pick up with these and finish this off hopefully tomorrow. And I also want to speak about some aspect of Rosh Hashanah also tomorrow.